angelic authority. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, you're not the boss. God is. And God always uses a man. We have with us, our spiritual father is not here today. The pastor's over the river and through the woods, hanging out, having fun, on vacation. And we're very thankful that he can do that. The bishop and Brother Sutton are out of town this morning. But we have a great friend of this church and a great friend of our pastor, Brother Franco Platania, with us this morning. And we love him and we're thankful for the gift of God, the apostolic authority that's already here. Brother Platania, come this morning and preach the word of God to us. We love you. Everybody lift your hand to him and pray an anointed prayer over his life and his family as he comes.
Praise God. Why don't we just lift our hands one more time and give him some praise. He deserves the glory. Praise the name of the Lord. When I got up this morning, I wasn't forced to be here, to come here. I wasn't told I had to be here. I got up this morning and I wanted to be here. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor, just tell him, after I watched you worship like that, either you are mentally insane or you love God and don't give it a rip to whatever and whoever is. I think this is the most mentally insane, dysfunctional church I ever have been in. But we got a reason to worship him. We got a reason to praise him. I got a reason to give him some glory this morning. If it had not been for the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa. Oh, yeah. If you think I'm crazy now, you should have seen me then. I have a reason to praise him. Excuse us if we act a little funny and a little emotional, but you should have known us when we were lost without God. And you should have seen me where God found me. And you should have watched him get me out of the miry clay and put my feet on solid rock. If you had been what I had been and you had gone through what I've gone through, you will be worshiping just like I do. I got a reason to praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God. I told somebody, the Lord doesn't have to do anything for me. He doesn't owe me anything. All I got to do is just walk into the archives of my past. And just to remind myself what I was found and how he saved me. And I told the Lord, that was enough for me. You don't have to heal me if you don't want to heal me. You don't have to bless me if you don't want to bless me. Just knowing that I was lost and now I am saved, that is enough for me to open up my mouth and give you praise. You don't have to excite me. You don't have to bless me. Just knowing I'm saved, it's enough. It's enough. Praise God. Praise God. Woo, glory, you make me want to act wild in this church. My. Praise God. Remain standing with me. I'm going to get right to the word of the Lord. I want to say thank you so much, Bishop Sutton. I know he is isn't a place where I wish I were right now. Right now, he texted me last night. He said, I'm about to land in your territory. And I told him, I texted him back. I said, kiss the ground for me. And tell him I'll be there in December. And so I'm hoping that he and his family would enjoy a time of rest and relax. And I know he'll come back with fire shut up in his bones. Praise God. And if he remains in Italy too long, he might come back with an extra pound or two. Praise God. I love your pastor. I was telling somebody last night, and that is difficult for the church to appreciate what you are accustomed to. And it's a tendency of humanity. You got some things in your home, they're precious, they're priceless, that you enjoy every day, but sometimes you don't appreciate the value of those things because you just have them every day. But I want to tell you, you have a man of God who is favored of the Lord. And he's able, more than able, to lead this church where it needs to go. And I want to tell you, you got something valuable. Don't ever take it for granted. And it's easy for me to judge that because I'm an outsider. And so I appreciate things because I judge free from conditional, behavior, if you so please. I get to value things because when I see them, I can feel the importance of those things because I'm not accustomed to those things. It's like that old truck I used to have and I couldn't wait to get rid of until I realized after I got rid of it, I really need it so bad. Praise God. And I want to thank God for Pastor Sutton and his family. Love these people. These are genuine people, real people. Love God, love the work of God. And you have an excellent man of God who is qualified to do it, the work that he has been assigned to do. Praise God. I am just delighted to be here. And always a joy. I told my wife about this crazy church here in Alabama. And she couldn't really understand. I said, babe, you can't understand. You got to come and see this. I said, I promise. They're not all mentally insane. Some are, but most are not. But they're excited about living for God. There's no church like this one. And I mean it. It's just amazing what I feel here, what I see here. And I know it's the work of the Lord. It's good to see my friend Joe and Francesca. I always love these people. I'm so thrilled to know that beside me there is an Italian-speaking family who is saved. Telling you, I don't know anybody else outside the two of us who are Italian-speaking people who are had the grace to know the Lord. And it thrills me. It's good to see them. Love them very much. And you better love them. If you don't love them, I'll come back with my gun. But I don't have to come back. Joe's got one of his own. So we don't have to worry about that. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Let's go to the word of the Lord. I want to take you to the book of Genesis. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. If you cannot find Genesis, please come to this altar and repent. It's past your cover. That's where it's at. All right. It's not one of those difficult. I want to tell you, I got about 8 years of Bible school. There's still some books I can't find in the Bible. And sometimes I just can't find them and I fake it. I found it. Because I still can't find it. Thank God for indexes, and I can always look for the page. Praise God. All right. James chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. and the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to talk to you with the help of the Lord in the next few moments about this very simple subject. Bring your world into order. Bring your world into order. Lord, we love you. We thank you. You're such a great God. I pray that you will help us. And I pray that the flow of the Holy Ghost won't stop, but will continue in this house. I pray, God, that you will do a work in the Holy Ghost right now. Touch everyone, every man, every woman, every child, every teenager. Give us a clarity of mind. I know my lips of clay, and God, as always, make me transparent that they may see you, feel you, and hear you. I pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. May be seated. There are many forces that work constantly in our universe to make our universe and our planet optimal for living. Those forces, visible and invisible, work together in harmony to provide sustainment and order into our world. Now, there's some forces that we don't see. There are some forces we cannot detect with our five senses. Nevertheless, they exist. Gravity is one of them. The forces of electromagnetism is another one. These forces, some of these forces are invisible, and they're not tangible to the human senses, but they are working even now. In fact, if the force of gravity wouldn't be working right now, we'll be falling into space. But because those forces work, we enjoy the living here, and because they work in our favor, they provide order, and they provide sustainment, and they provide an optimal system for which humans can adapt and live, and thank God for that. Now, you got to follow me for a little while because I'm going to take you somewhere. But I want to make a point here for a moment that just because some of these forces are not detectable, we don't see them, we can't touch them, it doesn't mean that they don't exist. Now, sometimes with God is just we have the tendency to believe that just because we don't see God, and we don't detect God, because God cannot be it does not live in the same kingdom we live in. It's a kingdom you have to explore. It's a territory that you have to go into to find God. God divided the kingdoms as we know him, the four kingdoms known to mankind, and every kingdom is diversified and is bound by and governed by laws, and every kingdom is not accessible by creatures who live in different ones, and you cannot access the kingdom, the animal kingdom, and become like one of them, though some of you have tried. But we don't become animals because we decide to become one. Because those kingdoms are divided, they have borders, and they're governed by laws that you cannot violate. And so God cannot be found in this kingdom. We have to become citizen of the kingdom by divine permission. That's what Jesus told this man who was knowledgeable about the word of God and who understood Jesus. You are not just another preacher. You're just not another prophet. There's something about you. And I want to talk to you about salvation. I want to talk to you about the afterworld. I want to talk to you about the salvation. And he said, what should I do? What does it take to be saved? And Jesus said Nicodemus, you gotta be born again. And when you're born again, then you can enter into my kingdom. In a few words, you can, I give you permission to come into my system, my world, and you, then you will understand who I am and why I'm here. But until then, you won't have a revelation of who I really am until you are born again and you are able to enter into my kingdom. That's what Jesus, oh God, had to come in flesh. He became one of us because that was the only avenue, the only way to access our kingdom without violating the laws that govern this kingdom. You have to put on flesh to come into my kingdom. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. You're going to have to put on spirit to come into mine. And so we understand that just because you don't see God and just because you cannot explain God, that doesn't mean that he does not operate or that he is not working at all times. I don't see the law of gravity. I don't see gravity. I don't see electromagnetism, but I tell you, it's working at all times and it's working in our favor. And I want to tell you that with God is the same. You just cannot explain God. You just cannot expect to see God to believe. You have to faith God. Faith is the currency of heaven. It's the only tool of exchange. You give God some faith, and in exchange he gives you back what heaven has for us. If you want to do business with God, you're going to have to believe God. You have to faith God. It's the only currency that heaven understand. And in exchange of your faith, God gives you goods. And that's the way it works. And I understand that it's difficult for us to comprehend that, but you will know. You will understand that once you are born again in water and in spirit, and you will be able to access the kingdom. Have you ever heard people who get the Holy Ghost? Have you ever heard people who get baptized saying repeatedly the same thing? Everywhere I go, they keep saying, they say the same thing. They respond to that experience in the same way. I have never seen anything like this. I have never felt anything like this. I've never been to any place like this, because all of a sudden they are transported from darkness into his marvelous light. And this virtual transportation can only happen through the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't happen because you go to church. Jesus said, I will take you from darkness into my marvelous light. It's going to take a level of transportation that is not going to be available in this world. You cannot experience the spiritual forces of God and the spiritual kingdom and everything that he has reserved for us just because you go to church. There's got to be a transfer. There's got to be a transportation. There's got to be a movement from one world into another. Praise God. And that's why sometimes it's almost senseless. It's almost useless to try to explain people who don't understand the power of the Holy Ghost when they don't have it, because it's part of a kingdom that they don't understand. They don't comprehend. Many times you read in the Word of God people who had a spiritual encounter like Mary, and the angel is trying to explain to her how she's going to conceive a baby, and after a while she pretty much gives up and she surrenders to her understanding, and she says, listen, I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I don't know how this is going to happen. But she said, however, nevertheless, I will do whatever the word says. I don't understand everything you're trying to tell me. I don't know how I can have a baby without a man. I don't understand how this is going to happen. But whatever you say, I believe it. And because I believe it, I know it's going to happen. Sometimes all you have from heaven is a word, and you can explain everything. You cannot understand what the word is trying to tell us, but it's enough. If the word is saying it, it will come to pass. Praise God. And so stay with me. I'm going somewhere. I want to take you with me. on this journey. So these forces work harmoniously together throughout the day, throughout the eras, have worked always in our favor to provide optimal sustainment to the planet we are part of. And they work continuously and harmoniously. They're not in contradiction with one another. They're not in conflict. They work together. There's a system that is designed to work perfectly. Perfectly. And there is no life. There is no life on earth. There's no life that I know that can do or can survive without those forces working on them continually. I want to tell you that every form of life, and now stay with me, every form of life that you can think of depends on another one. Life was never created to be self-dependent. God didn't create it that way. There is a sense of dependency that is a divine design. God intended life to be dependent upon another one. There's no tree in this world. There's no flower in this world. There is no form of life in this world that can get up in the morning and tell itself, I don't need anything and I don't need anybody to make it. Every form of life, strong, weak, tall, large, rare or not, will always depend on another one. Another form of life, the sun ray will have to intervene to provide the flower, the beauty that we so much enjoy. And the tree, as strong and powerful as it may be, and as grounded as it may be, still need the rain from heaven to sustain it and to help it. There is no form of life on this planet that can say to itself, I don't need anything and I don't need anybody. I'm good all by myself. There, because God didn't intend the life to be this way. And life understand that. Life works harmoniously together to provide survival, but also self-sustainment. The only species on earth who has not understood that process is us. It's the human being who gets up in the morning and says, I don't need God. I don't need anybody and anything to help me become what the creator had in mind for me. Oh, the only species on earth, on this planet, that has not understood the power of dependency on another force that's greater than ourselves is us. That's why we have this crisis in our world. That's why we have this moral decadence, because mankind cannot rely on a force that is greater than himself. You see, the only way mankind can become something is by depending upon a force that is greater than itself. And the only force I know that is greater than humanity is God himself. Can you imagine if 7 billion people would get up in the morning and rely on the power and direction of God himself? Can you imagine how the world will be transformed? I'm telling you, there is no creature on this planet that is powerful enough and big enough to self-become. If you want to become everything that God intended you to become, you're going to have to depend on a force that is greater than yourself. And the only force I know that is greater than humanity is God himself. I depend on him. I cannot become anything without him. Just like a seed that is not planted, like a seed who is not provided what it's needed. Oh yeah, the seed is a perfect unit all by itself. It's got everything it needs to become, but it's all sheltered. It's all shelled within that shell. It's all hidden. It's all locked up within the shell. And if forces greater than the seed doesn't come and intervene and contribute to the formation of the seed will always die, will die just like a seed. A seed he came to be, and a seed will die as it is. But if you allow the forces to work upon the seed, upon the shell, and all of a sudden what's locked up inside the seed is going to break out and become everything God intended it to become. All good by itself, but without powers that are greater than itself, the shell, the seed will always be undefined. Who is the seed? What really what did the Creator really have in mind for you when He made you? This is the problem with us. You think you are who you are. And if you're visiting this morning, I want to thank you for coming. I want to tell you, you are not who you really think you are until you allow God to intervene and contribute in your formation. And as soon as God begins to work on you, and as soon as you allow those forces to work in your life, all of a sudden you're going to start becoming what really God intended you to become. That's why when I look back into my life and I thought that was what I thought I was going to become, and now I look back, I realize no, that was not me. That was me without God. But now that God has contributed to my becoming, this is who I was supposed to be. You will never know who you are, and you will never know what you are here for until you allow God to touch you and move upon you and let the forces of God contribute to you becoming. Now, two forces that I know are agencies of change. Are forces that I call transformational forces, creational forces. The two forces that I know the Bible teaches me about God are the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word. In the beginning, the Bible says, there was nothing. There was void, chaos, and the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the earth. Now, if you want to know something about God, one of its revealing characteristics, here it is. If you want to know God's behavior, this is one of them. He's a moving God. There's nothing about God that is still stagnant. There's nothing about God that does not require some kind of movement. That's why you gotta forgive us, because these crazy kids, these crazy people worshiping here this morning are an act of God. It is a response to what they have received. It is difficult to keep somebody quiet who has been filled with the same spirit that move upon the face of the earth. It's difficult for people to stand still when there is spiritual turmoil inside of them. God is energy, is movement, is synergy. And this force, stay with me, I'm going somewhere with this. And this force is creational, is transformational. And you see it operating in the beginning of times as He moves on something that is dead. There is no force that I know who can move on dead stuff and bring it back to life. I don't know any known force that I've ever studied or been told about who can move on things that are void and empty and make a creation out of it. Now, I know you can do something with something. That is not difficult. If somebody gives you something, you've been a creative creature, can make something out of something. But who can make something out of nothing? Who can make something out of void and emptiness? Only one God I know who can do that. And His name is Jesus. He can walk. He can go to the cemetery and call people who've been dead for days and bring them back to life. I don't know any other God who can move on dead stuff and bring them back to life. He's so powerful that He can walk into your dead marriage and bring your marriage back to where it belongs. He can walk into your dead relationships and He can bring it back to life. He can walk into your situation, and I don't care how deep it is, how much it stinks, He's not afraid to speak to stinking stuff. He spoke to Lazarus, said, I know you stink, but you still have to come out of there because I have spoken the word. Oh, Lord, don't let me get ahead of myself. And so now, And the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the void. And then the word of God was spoken. And these two forces met, fused together to bring about a creation. So that tells me that in order to have a creational miracle, these two forces have to work harmoniously together. The danger of a church is that sometimes you have one without the other. You can, and I've been to some churches where you have a lot of spirit. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. So spiritual that you can turn good churches into charismatic movements. Where the spirit is really what counts and we don't rely on the direction of the word. You can be so spiritually minded that you're not earthly good. Always spiritualizing everything. That can be a dangerous thing. Then I've been to churches where a lot of churches are grounded in the word. It's about the word. It's about the word, but they ignore or they master and control the movement of the spirit. I've been there too, where people don't want the spirit to move too freely. No, we don't want to be all emotional now. We don't want to let the Holy Ghost do something. You know, the word, you got to have the word. Now, you can have so much word that you can turn a good church into a legalistic church. So legalistic that you cannot breathe anymore. But it's when the combination, the harmonious combination of the word and the spirit come together, that then you have an apostolic church that rightly divide the word of God and is measured correctly to where the word and the spirit work harmoniously for a creational work. Because I want to tell you, without a creational work, the church has no reason to exist. We are in the business of creating new beginnings. That's why they call us new creatures. When we get the Holy Ghost and are impacted by the word of God, we become a new creation before God. We are not what we used to be and become a new thing. We were void, we were empty, we were without life, and then the word and the spirit come together and all of a sudden here you are. Now, this spirit all by itself cannot get the job done. Because it needs the provision of the word. God moved upon the face of the earth to bring the world into existence, but was the word that spoke it into existence. And the spirit sustained the word. Stay with me because I'm trying to help you. You see, the word has the power and the ability to bring chaos into order. That's what the word does. That's why when the word is preached, it doesn't matter who preach it. It doesn't matter where you preach it. If there is somebody in the house whose world is in chaos and they begin to hear the word of God, the first thing they want to do is bring the world into order. I've watched them when I was pastoring it. Now as an evangelist, I watched sinners, believers, people from all kinds of walk of life. And they listen to the word of God. They receive the word of God. And you can watch them. That there is a creation work in the making. Their life begins to be troubled. Because the word is bringing order. And they want to go home. And they want to make it right with their family. They want to go back to their life and make it right. They want to bring order into their chaotic world. The word is doing a work in them. They want to make it right with God. They tell themselves, I got to go back to church. I got to live for God. I got to make it right with my kids. Because the word will drive you to do the right thing. The word will want to bring you. We want to bring you to a place of order. You're sick and tired to live in chaotic world. In a chaotic world. You're sick and tired to live in chaos. You're ready for some order. You're ready for some peace. You don't want to leave in a world of emptiness and void. And that's what the word does. As the word is preached. However, I must say that the word all by itself cannot get the job done. Let me give an example before I get to spirit here. Here's God, the beginning of time. And the Bible says the word in the beginning was God. And the word was with God. And the word was God. God stooped down and began to form mankind out of nothing. He made Adam out of nothing. It was chaos. It was mud. It was unshaped, unformed. And the word put form to what didn't have any form. But the Bible says that the form was lifeless. No, it did bring order. It did bring a shape to it, but there was no life. And so the Bible says that he did what? Breathed into his nostril, and what was dead became lively. Oh, now you can see this pattern throughout the word. Another example, the Bible speaks of God giving a word to Ezekiel, and he's asked to speak to dead, dry bones. They're scattered in the valley. They are without form, without shape. The preacher does not know what that is all about until he begins to speak the word and watch what the word does. All of a sudden, as the word is spoken, those dead, dry bones begins to assemble together. They come together. And what was scattered, what was confusing, what looked like chaos, turn into order. And now the preacher sees that these are more than just dead bones. These are more than just scattered dry bones. Oh, God help me today. Do you understand that until the word is spoken, until you receive the power of the spoken word, you're always going to live in a life of confusion, never knowing who I really am. I've never been shaped. I've never been formed. I've never been assembled together. I really don't know who I am. I'm dry. I'm dead. I'm scattered. And I'm lost until the word of God. Oh. And all of a sudden, this valley's filled with dried dead bones turns to be an army. Something that you counted worthless. Now it's a powerful army standing. I wish you could see what I see. Because that's where I see humanity. That's where I see you. Lost, confused, chaos. Your world falling apart. Your relationship falling apart. Your identity being confused. And you don't really know how powerful you are until the word is spoken into your life. And all of a sudden, will look dead and worthless, turn into a powerful army. Stay with me. I'm almost there. I'm known to have a long introduction and small little sermons. I'm on my introductions right now. And then God says, Ezekiel, I want you to speak again, but speak to the wind. Now, I don't have to give you a theological lesson here. You know that anytime the word wind is mentioned, the word of God is always referred to the Spirit, New and Old Testament, always. He says, speak to the Spirit and give the Spirit a chance to move on what is still and what over what is dead and lifeless. And the Spirit began to move upon those dead forms. And all of a sudden, what was dead began to move. Life had entered into a lifeless form. And what was dead, just like in creation, begin to live again. The Spirit all by itself cannot get it done. And the Word all by itself cannot get it done. They have to work together to bring about a creational power, a creational miracle. And that's what I've come to talk to you this morning. And I think that's why, and it was mentioned today in the opening remarks, if you want to worship me, You have to worship me in spirit and in truth. Word and spirit have to work together in order to give you a revelation of who I am. The spirit alone cannot give you a revelation of who I am, but the word and the spirit coming together can give you a revelation of who I really am. You cannot do this all in the spirit, and you cannot do this all in the word. You gotta have both. And scripture after scripture, and event after event, you can watch a pattern throughout the word of God. I don't have the time to take you to every single event where the word and the spirit came together and work a miraculous event, always working together in harmony. Always. Where there is a word, there is a move of the Holy Ghost. They work together. You cannot take one and the other. The upper room experience, Holy Ghost, and then the word and the creational power brought 3,000 people now saved. And when I tell you, the word and the spirit, you will watch this. You can watch this as you read the Bible. They will always, you will always find them working in accord, in agreement. And they work together because together they can bring a new creational miracle into our lives. That is the reason why I've come to talk to you. I don't know who you are, but you need to bring your world back into order. And if you have never known God, if you have never known the power of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, the power of the word is not enough. I thank God that you are religious, that you go to church, that you love the word. But if you don't allow the Holy Ghost to finish what the word starts, you will never become a new creature. You will never have an understanding who this God is, because you cannot get a revelation. Jesus said, Peter, you got it. You know who I really am. But you didn't get this on your own. My daddy revealed it to you. The Holy Ghost had to give you the utterance. You spoke it. You gave it to me. But the revelation really came from heaven. I want to tell, that's the reason why some of us don't get changed. And some of us cannot bring the world into order. Because you do love the word. And you enjoy the word. And you walk out of here leaping and enjoying what you just heard. But you don't let the Holy Ghost finish it. I know how easy it is to walk out of a place and say, well, that was good preaching. I enjoyed the preaching today. It was awesome. But my question is, did you allow the Holy Ghost to come upon you and finish the creational work that is necessary for you to be changed? Because, honey, I want to tell you, being touched is not enough. You got to be changed. And that's what happens to people come to church and they experience religion and they don't want to come to an altar because they know if I go to the altar, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on me. And when the Holy Ghost begins to fall on me, there's going to be a transformational power that is going to take place. Now I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to say something you're not going to like me saying, but some of you don't want to be changed. I'm going to say it now. I'm getting dangerous now. I'm getting so dangerous, I'm going to take my coat off. But some of us are too comfortable with our dysfunctions. We go to bed with our dysfunctions. We like the victim mentality. And we have become addicted to who we are and are not willing to change who we are because we've become comfortable in our thinking, in our paradigm, in our religious system. And I want to tell you, when the word and the spirit begin to work together, baby, you cannot be the same again. You cannot walk out of this house and still think the same, and still act the same, and still have the same attitude. There is no way. That's why when we come to a service like this, We have to allow the word to be preached. Behind it, you're going to have to let the Holy Ghost move. Because if the Holy Ghost doesn't finish what the word starts, we will never have a creational, transformational power in our lives. And that is the reason why you go home the same way you came. Nothing has changed. Nothing has taken place. No creation has taken place. I want to tell you, I am ready to put an end to my void, into my emptiness, and I'm ready for God to do a creational work in my life. I don't want to be the same anymore. I want forces from heaven to contribute to who I am and to who I need to become. I can't get this done all by myself. I need forces. You see, this is our mistake. Because we think the church is going to change us. The church is not going to change us. The church, and that's my opinion, is a replacement for the environment that we lost in Eden. This is what I call Eden. It's a place where you interact with God. It's an exchange of communion or community or communication. It's an environment that's created to prosper God's blessing in our lives. That's a place where you meet God, a place where you have an interaction network with God, a place where God forms, a place where God builds you. But this is not transformational. I tell you what transforms you is when you allow those two forces to work simultaneously into your life. You receive the word and then you say, God, I heard your word. Now let your spirit change me. I want to tell you, it's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to go to church and be a good man. You need more than that. You need more than just word. You need a transformational, creational work in your life. And the only one that who can do it is the power of the word and the Holy Ghost coming together. I want to tell today, you can walk out of this place a changed man or a changed woman. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and never be the man or the woman you used to be. Or you can walk out of this place and just saying to yourself, this was good and nothing will ever change. I don't know what you came for. I don't know what you came to seek after. But I want to tell you, if you really want a creational transformation in your life, you're going to have to let more than just the word work on you. You're going to have to let the Holy Ghost work on you at the same time. Stand with me. There are lives that need to be changed. You can go about your business and well, knowing that there has not been contribution from heaven to help you change. You cannot say I love God but never giving him permission to move upon your void and your empty places. The word is not enough. It just brings order into your chaos. And you feel the urge to do something about it. But honey, by the time you leave this place and you don't let the Holy Ghost work in you, this is going to be nothing but just a good motivational speech. And your motivation is going to be as good as and it's going to last as long as Monday, maybe. But Tuesday, you're back into your chaos. Because the word is sustained and it is sustained by the power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives the word, the letter power. That's why after formation, there was always a need for a spiritual intervention. Oh yes, the word made Adam, the word put an army together, but it was the Spirit that gave it life. It is the Spirit that created energy. I want to tell you, sweet person, I don't know who you are. And maybe and I know you love God. And I know you love the word. But there is more than than just the word that needs to be done tonight. Today, there's more than just the word. You have to give the Holy Ghost permission to work the rest. That's why when I passed, I was always disturbed. I never could understand. Man, I feel like I preached a good sermon. I feel like I gave the people what they needed, but I don't see any change taking place. And the people were still the same. On Monday and Tuesday, I still have to deal with the same people I was dealing with on the week before. And I'm thinking, God, is your word powerless? And then it dawned on me. My word all by itself cannot get it done. Nowhere in the Bible you will see the word working by itself. You mark my word, you can read it for yourself. Anytime there was a word spoken, there was a divine intervention. There was a spiritual intervention everywhere you read it. The angel spoke the word. I don't have the time to go from one event to another. The angel spoke the word from God, right? But then what did he say? But the Holy Ghost will come upon you. I have given you the word, but my word is not creational all by itself. But honey, when the Spirit is going to come on you, what I spoke and what the Spirit is going to do is going to bring a formation into your womb. It's going to create a new thing inside of you. That's what you want. That's what I want. I want God to create a new thing in my life. I want to walk out of this building today, no tomorrow, no next evangelist meeting, no the next revival, and tell to myself, oh, there is a creation about to happen. A new thing, a new creature, a new me, because the word and the spirit are working. They're working together. I feel a change. I feel a shift. I feel something is changing in my life. I want to tell you, sweet people, whether you've been in church all your life or you just got here, you cannot be saved by just hearing the word. Now, you see, I love people. I really do. That's why I quit pastoring. I really did quit that because I love them too much. Now, I'm an evangelist. I can beat them on the head. I don't feel bad about it. But I want to tell you, I have seen too many people coming to church and feeling, soothing their conscience. And, oh, I went to church. I heard the word. That's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Because, honey, you're going to walk out of this place just as you came. Still going to cuss, fuss, have a bad attitude. Your world is still in chaos. Your relationships are not fixed. Your family is not fixed. Your stuff in your life is still a world in chaos. And I want to tell you, I don't know if you live on the same planet I live on, but I want to tell you, this world is chaos. Anywhere you turn, there's chaos. Babies out of wedlock. People in their fifth, sixth marriage don't seem to be to find the right one. People losing their minds. People living on depressed and oppressed. It's chaos. I tell you how you can bring that chaos into order. Let the word be spoken. And then let the Holy Ghost move upon you. I don't know who you are. Maybe you're just visiting today. But it's time that you let the Spirit do its part. Don't walk out of here without giving the Holy Ghost permission. I want to ask God, God, finish this creational work. Help me become everything you really wanted me to become. If you're visiting today, if you're just a friend of the church and you haven't make up your mind yet to live for God. Maybe you're just in and out, kind of, you know, mastering the art or refusing, rejecting, taking what you like and living out what you don't. Why don't you just quit and just say, okay, Lord, I heard the preacher. I surrender to your word and I surrender to your spirit. I'm ready for a new world. A new creation. If you've been in church all your life, but you know there's some things you must change. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. This is the day. Young person, bring your world into order. Let the word and let the spirit do a work. Oh, this is beautiful. Come on. Thank you for coming. I don't know what you need to bring in order in your life. Maybe it's your walk with God. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe there is some challenges in your life. Maybe there are some things in your life you need to fix. I know we will jump and shout and run tonight, but right now somebody needs to bring their world into order. Come on, my friend. Whoever you are today, come on. Come on, lady. Come on, man. Come on, sir. God is waiting on you. Make up your mind and serve the Lord. Lord, I'm through playing church. I'm through just coming and going without commitment. Lord, bring my world into order. Come on, my friend. You've been asking the Lord, Lord, can you bring my world into order? And God is saying all along, I will. But you're going to have to let my word and my spirit work on you. He wants to help you with your relationships. He wants to help you with your marriage. He wants to help you with your chaotic world. He wants to help you with your children. He wants to help you with your career and jobs. He wants to help you with your diseases and depressions. He wants to help you with your challenges. But you're going to have to let the word and the spirit work and contribute to your becoming. Let's say, come on. Woo. Come on, I feel that creational power right now working. Beautiful, come on. God, work. Change me. Save me. Come on, somebody's gonna walk out of here saved. Somebody's gonna walk out of here filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody's gonna walk out of here changed, a new creature. Come on, I feel it. Feel the Holy Ghost working right now. Somebody's not going to be the same anymore. Yes! Yes! Yeah.